Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in the Gospel reading, we see what is perhaps for some of us a very familiar story from the life of Jesus, visiting the home of Martha and Mary. Later on in the Gospels, we see that Jesus went to Martha and Mary's town after their brother Lazarus had just tragically passed away from an illness. And at that time, Jesus performed a great miracle by raising Lazarus back to life from the dead. But today, in the Gospel reading, when we see Jesus come to visit, it's not because there's any particular emergency that needs his immediate attention. He simply comes to spend time with this family and to share his word with them. Now think about the times when we come to Jesus, when we come to God in prayer. Do we only come to God when we're feeling totally crushed or disheartened by some of the events and circumstances of life? Do we only call out to him when we feel that we have some great need that we need him to address? How many times do we come to him when we don't have some request that we're making to him, something that we're asking for his help for, but instead that we just come to him because we want to say hello, or we want to say thank you, or simply to sit and listen from him? Well, in our reading today, we see that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, even when there was no special crisis or dilemma or need or emergency that needed his attention. And for us in our lives, our love for God, knowing everything that he has done to save us through sending his son Jesus, our love in response to his love to us, will do the same thing. We will call upon him not only in the day of trouble, but also in the day of triumph. Also in just an average day when we're pretty even keel. But we see in the Gospel reading that now that Martha had graciously welcomed Jesus to come into her home, now there was work for her to do. Although the reading doesn't specifically mention it, we can imagine that not only was Jesus invited as a guest into the home of Martha and Mary, but also at least his 12 closest disciples who were traveling with him, we imagine that they were also invited into the home of Martha and Mary. And so with that relatively large group of people as invited guests, there was quite a bit of work that needed to be done in order to show the proper hospitality that was customary at that time from host to guest. And so one of the, as you can imagine, one of the major tasks that needed to be done was to prepare a meal for all those guests to eat. Martha, it seems, as we read in this reading, was more focused on what she needed to do, or at least what she thought that she needed to do for Jesus, rather than thinking about what Jesus wanted to do for her. But when Martha goes to Jesus and complains to him about the fact that her sister Mary is not helping her with all those preparations that need to be done, in Jesus' response to Martha, we see Jesus correcting this wrong idea that she had. He says to her, "One thing is needed." Basically, he's saying to her that, "I did not come here so that you could wait on me and so that you could serve me, but I came here so that I could serve you. What you do for me, Martha, yes, that's important and appreciated, but what I do for you, that is supremely important. That is more important than anything you could possibly do for me. So, Martha, put things in the proper priority." We also need to learn this same lesson from Jesus. What we do for him and for others in his name is surely important, and it's something that he wants us to do. In fact, God tells us in the book of the Apostle James that faith without deeds is dead. So if we love Jesus, truly love him in our hearts, then we will simply naturally serve Jesus and serve others in his name in our lives with our actions and our words. And if we don't serve Jesus and serve others in our lives, well, and that reveals that we don't really love him all that much in our hearts. So what we do for Jesus is certainly not unimportant. But what Jesus does for us is supremely important, surpassing everything else in life. When we stand before the throne of God on Judgment Day, what will really count at that time is not all the things that we have done for God and for other people, but what will really count at that time is the fact that Jesus has kept all of God's commandments perfectly in our place, and he credits that righteousness of his to our account. What will really count on Judgment Day is that Jesus has died in our place for our sins, that Jesus has crushed the devil's head and destroyed his work, that Jesus has removed the sting of death forever by his own resurrection from the dead, which he promises is the first fruits of all of us who believe in him. What really counts is that Jesus is now interceding for us before the throne of God the Father, praying to God the Father on our behalf, pointing to his own completed work, to his own righteousness in our defense, showing those things to God the Father and saying that those things are our own. Jesus' ministry for us in our place, that is what will count on the day of salvation, not our ministry, our service to him or in his name. We base our hope of salvation, not on what we have done for God, but on what Jesus has done for us. And so, as we know, there was another day, not too long after this day in our gospel reading, when Martha again reached out to Jesus and asked him to come to their town of Bethany. Lazarus, her brother, was sick and dying. She asked Jesus to come quickly and to heal their brother Lazarus so that he wouldn't die. And although Jesus did not come quickly as she had requested, and Lazarus did die, yet Jesus did an even greater miracle than what was requested. Even greater than healing Lazarus of his sickness, he brought Lazarus back to life from the dead. But so often, our Savior helps us not with spectacular miracles of healing or of resurrection, certainly, as he did in the case of healing or raising Lazarus from the dead. But more often, Jesus helps us with his words. So on this particular day in our reading, we see that Jesus didn't really do anything spectacular in the town of Bethany that day. But he just said something there in that town. And we see Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, listening to his teaching. But Martha apparently didn't think that it was all that important, didn't think that Jesus' words were all that spectacular. And so instead of sitting and listening to him as her sister Mary did, she was busying herself with all the things around the house that needed to be done to prepare for his visit, seemingly not all that interested in what Jesus was saying. Well, how often don't we act in a similar way? When we're out of work, maybe, we pray to God and we expect that he is going to prepare a new job for us. When we're in the hospital, sick or ill or injured, we pray and we expect that he is going to speed us on the road of recovery back to full health. When we're in trouble, we pray and we expect that he is going to get us out of whatever trouble we're in. We want to see God's miraculous work rescuing us from the difficult circumstances that we face in our lives. We want his miracles. But what about his words? Jesus ministers to us with his words. It's by the preaching of God's word that the power and the comfort of God is released in our lives, and that the gifts of the Spirit are given to us. By his powerful word, Jesus preserves and sustains the world and the whole universe. And by that same powerful word of his, he also preserves and sustains our faith in him as our Savior. By his powerful word, storms are stilled, both literally as we see him work that miracle in the Gospels, and also metaphorically, the storms of life in our lives so often are stilled miraculously by his powerful word. But more powerfully, more importantly, by his word, sins are pardoned. By his word, our faith in him is strengthened. By his word, hearts that hurt and ache are healed. Souls that cry out in anguish and in grief are comforted. All by his word. So if you make Martha's mistake, if you fill yourself up to the brim with the busyness of this life, if you get so wrapped up and so involved in the affairs of the world and in the things of this life, even in the tasks of managing and administering the affairs of this church, that you end up bypassing or overlooking your Savior's word and you miss the Redeemer's message to you, you will be the poorer for it. Your faith, if you continue on that trajectory, will eventually shrivel, and with it, your hope and confidence of salvation will shrivel with it. But if you adopt Mary's humble plan, if you sit at your Savior's feet and listen intently to his message, you will be the richer for it. You will gain for yourself what Mary gained, the one thing that is needed, the Father's assurance, the Savior's gift of peace to you through the knowledge that your sins are all forgiven, the Holy Spirit's sustaining power for your faith and your life until God calls you to his side in heaven. The famous saying goes that a picture is worth a thousand words. But in the case of our Savior Jesus, we see that just one word from his mouth, just one message of his teaching is worth more than a thousand of his miracles. Yes, a miracle of God can save or restore health or life, but the word of God alone can save and rescue a soul for eternal life. A miracle of God can restore our physical health, but the word of God only restores our spiritual health and gives us eternal spiritual life. A miracle of God can restore physical strength, but only God's word can restore our faith. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let Jesus serve you. Let him speak to you. Although there are really many things in life that are important and that God calls us on to be responsible for and to fulfill, to prepare food and clothing and shelter for ourselves and our families, to work, to cherish and to build each other up in our family and friendship relationships, yet only one thing is truly needed. Only one thing is truly needed for eternal life: the word of your Savior Jesus. So listen when he speaks to you. Amen.